taking flight, the first four of 16 white-tailed sea eagle chicks were released into the wild today as part of a conservation project to reintroduce the bird to Irish shores. The chicks were brought to Ireland from Norway last month.
And they transported them from Trondheim to Kerry Airport. We collected them and we put them in purpose-built release cages where we've held them for the last 6 weeks. We've fed them, we've watched them, we've fed them fish, and they have now developed to the point where they're strong enough and their feathers are fully grown and they're now ready to fly out into the wild environment in Ireland.
That was wildlife ranger Eamon Meskell of the National Parks and Wildlife Service speaking in a report by Laura Hogan for RTE News on the white-tailed sea eagle chicks being released into the wild in Munster 120 years after the species became extinct in Ireland. That programme began in 2007 and has been a huge success story for conservation in Ireland, most recently with the hatching of five new chicks on the shores of Loch Derg. And the National Parks and Wildlife Service are preparing for the potential reintroduction of another bird of prey this summer with the arrival of the first 12 osprey chicks later this month. Eamon Meskell joins us now from Killarney National Park. Hello, Eamon.
Hi, Derek.
It's great to speak with you again. Take us back to the beginning of this project.
The project was initiated in the early 2000s. So in around 2004, the National Parks and Wildlife Service and the Golden Eagle Trust and others came into a room and started hatching the plan, to pardon the pun, to see if it was possible to get the reintroduction of a species that was once present in Ireland back into the Irish countryside. By doing that, it just wasn't an idea that was pulled from the clouds. This was all part of the Convention of Biological Diversity, where Ireland is a signatory, and part of that, one of the pillars of that, is to reintroduce a species that was once present in the country. So we got the heads around the table to see was it possible, but a lot of work had to be done. We had to contact our Norwegian partners to get a suitable donor stock to see could we get wild chicks from the nest of white-tailed eagles in Norway and get them sent to Ireland, taken from those nest sites and taken and sent back to Ireland so that we could release them from purpose-built release cages in the wild and manage them over that 6 weeks until they got fully fledged and release them out into the wild, which we did. Initial reintroduction phase one was a six-year project where the plan was to bring back 100 white-tailed eagle chicks over that five-year period. That was 20 eagle chicks per year, which we did, and we released them completely from the release sites within Killarney National Park. So that's what happened, and we did that. We worked well with the local farmers, the local community, the Norwegians, all the authorities, and the project actually worked. So we got all those eagles into the wild, and the first sign of productivity was in 2012 when a pair of eagles that were released from Killarney National Park, the male in 2008 and the female in 2009, paired up on the shores of Loch Derg, made a nest, made a territory, but didn't hatch out any eggs that year. And that's completely normal for first-time young white-tailed sea eagles. So 2013, they got together again, same place, same territory, and lo and behold, that year, 2013 was the first time that we had two wild white-tailed eagle chicks born in the wild in 120 years in Ireland. So that was an actual, absolutely phenomenal feat. And over the course of the next 7 or 8 years then, many more territories were formed, as in 7 or 8 or 9 territories were formed from Glengariff all the way up along the Shannon Flyway, as we call the lakes of Loch Derg and Loch Allen and Loch Ree. And we got 7 more pairs breeding in the wild, but because of climatic factors and weather factors and everything like that, the success of the fledging rate of the white-tailed eagle chicks was not 100%, because we had hurricanes, we had storms at critical times when the nests were literally blown off the trees. So we had a good return up until 2019. We had about 10 territories at that stage set up. We had about 25 or 30 wild eagles in the wild. We also had about a further 25 white-tailed eagle chicks that were born in the wild. But in 2019, we had a scientific review done of the project at that stage to tell us how it was going, how the modelling was going, to see where we'd been successful. Was it going to last? Was it going to sustain itself, the project, in the wild? So, look, the findings of that review came back and said that, yes, we were doing a really good job. The project itself was working, but it needed an injection of a fresh cohort of white-tailed eagle chicks to be brought over a five-year period, just to, you know, breed life into the project and to create a situation where we may have had too many males or too many females in one area or another, and that would give them the option of pairing up in the wild. So lo and behold, in 2020, which was the start of COVID, we started white-tailed eagle reintroduction phase two. And the plan for phase two was to bring over maybe 60 eagles over a five-year period from Norway again. So we went back to the Norwegians. We set up our partnerships again. And for the difference, I suppose, between the white-tailed eagle phase two as opposed to white-tailed eagle phase one was that white-tailed eagle phase two was completely led and managed by National Parks and Wildlife Service staff. And we also extended the range of the release sites from Killarney, which we included Killarney as well, but we also brought it up through the Shannon Estuary on into Lough Derg and down into County Waterford. And also now we've opened up Lough Corrib as well as another potential release site. So from the point of view of that, it created a whole new scheme of works, but we based our work ethic and methodology on what we'd learned in the reintroduction phase one, as in the release cages were built the same, the preparation was the same, the feeding habits were the same, the satellite tagging was the same, the monitoring of the white-tailed eagles as they flew around was the same. So everything kind of dovetailed from phase one into phase two. And the really good news this year is that the pairing of the two projects, phase one and two, came together in Lough Derg, again, where we had a male, the first male actually that fledged that young pair in 2013 with a female. His female died, and he's after setting up territory now with a three-year-old white-tailed eagle chick released in phase two of the project.
Oh, fantastic. So that's great news. But how many white-tailed sea eagles, to the best of your knowledge, are there now flying in the skies over Ireland?
Well, you see, it sounds like there's an awful lot, Derek, but the reality of it is, look, between all the eagles that were released and all the eagles that were fledged in the wild and more eagles that came in reintroduction phase two, you're possibly looking at about 65 white-tailed eagles in the country at the moment. And you know, when you consider the size of Ireland, when you consider the territories, the lakes, the islands, the coastline we have, that's not a terribly significant amount. But look, if we can get maybe up to 15 or 16 designated territories where we have pairs of white-tailed eagles traditionally nesting in those areas, well, then we feel that the project at that stage will be sustainable.
What's the critical
viable
number?
That would be the kind of a critical number, and that's a great question. I mean, and your wording is absolutely brilliant. What we have to deal with is critical mass. Because if we're, for instance, if we're releasing into an area, you just don't release white-tailed eagles into the one area and then go away from it. You have to create a critical mass in that area where there's enough males to female ratio that over the course of 5 years to 7 years, when they're becoming adults and mature, that they'll have enough opportunities to pair up. So that's where the critical mass. So the critical mass in Ireland at the moment is still below par on the critical mass that we need for a viable, sustainable population. But when we've looked at the other models of the other areas where the reintroductions have taken place, we're ahead of those areas at this particular point
in time. But what is there a number? Is it 70 birds? Is it 100 birds? Is it 70 pairs? Is it 100 pairs? What's the number?
When we get to a number of something in the region of 20 pairs of white-tailed eagles with territories and are able to fledge chicks, white-tailed eagle chicks in the wild, well, then we'll feel that we're at the critical mass stage that we have a sustainable project at that stage.
Eamon, it's Niall here. It's great to hear that this project is going from strength to strength. I know there's a long way to go yet. Part of the reason for that, of course, is that these white-tailed seagulls, it takes them quite a long time to reach breeding maturity compared to, say, the robins or the blackbirds in our back gardens, which will often breed in their first year. In relation to that, it would suggest, obviously, that there is quite a high mortality rate among these birds and also quite a low success rate, initially at least, in terms of the pairs nesting. Do we know the reasons for that? And have the reasons for the initial extinction of this species in Ireland been fully addressed? Are they in the past?
You know something, Niall, it really is where we're at the moment with that project, and it is finding its feet, and it's taking a long time for it to find its feet. And as you say, it's one of those long-term projects. Now, what we had to do was we had to go through, not alone were we members of the Convention on Biological Diversity and partnerships in that, but we also have to fill the criteria of IUCN guideline criteria when we're reintroducing a species. And that's all part of the criteria. One of the ones that you're after mentioning is, why did the eagles disappear in the first place? You had to address that and find out why. We did. It was persecution. It was all these kind of things. And have we addressed that to the extent where we feel that we're able to overcome that issue? We have addressed it, and we feel we're at the stage now where we're able to overcome it. There are issues there with the white-tailed eagles existing in the wild. The issues would be the three main ones, I suppose, would be look, avian influenza. A past historical one was the use of poisons, which unfortunately is still there but is dying out. It's getting more less and less. And the other one then would be the wind turbines and all these, you know, they're flying birds that fly hard and fast when they're going and high. A lot of wind turbines coming along on the scene and the slopes of the mountains and everywhere in Ireland. I mean, it's another factor. And also, I mean, there's the fight. They're wild animals out there in the wild, and they do fight for territory and unfortunately kill each other as well. So we have all those factors which are not natural and non-natural, but we seem to be, I mean, really, we were shaking our knees at the start of this season with the amount of avian influenza that was around, with all the gannets and everything like that were dying off the coast of Ireland, down the Skelligs and up as far as Scotland and everything like that. And that was only 6 months ago. I think we were getting something like 300-400 dead gannets a day and off the Skelligs at the time. And that dovetailed at the time when the released eagle chicks from last year were flying to the coast and flying out and expanding their territory. So we were really afraid of that, but it didn't. I think we lost one eagle out of 15 last year to avian influenza. So look, there are factors out there. That's why it's long term, and that's why it's important to have the satellite tags and everything like that, so that we can monitor and follow the eagles' progress and see where they're at and be able to kind of manage them to a certain degree when they're out in the wild. Even though when they're out there, look, when they're released and they're gone, they're really gone, and it's up to themselves at that stage.
I'm really glad to hear, Eamon, that that they seem to be weathering the storm of avian flu quite well, because obviously it's something that many seabirds and large birds of prey like eagles have in common, is that because it takes so long for them to get to reach sexual maturity and to breed, if even a few are taken out of the population by a sudden disease incident like that, that can have repercussions for many, many years, that the species isn't as resilient, isn't able to bounce back as quickly. I know a lot of people contact us here at Moonie Goes Wild and in Birdwatch Ireland as well, thinking or at least hoping that they've seen white-tailed eagles. Because although the numbers are increasing, it's still in national terms a rare species. It's hard to come across them. A lot of people I know have been seeing buzzards, these large birds of prey, thinking that they're eagles. You know,
everywhere at the moment.
Absolutely, and a buzzard. You know, people who aren't familiar with them, they are certainly a very big, impressive bird. But they're nothing compared to white-tailed eagle. How could people distinguish the white-tailed eagle from other birds of prey? And will you always see a white tail on them?
Do you know something? It goes back to the maturity, the colouring. Eagles, it takes them at least 5 years. Now, we have a most unusual incident with the three-year-old female bee, Bernardine, in Loch Derrick, who is now sitting on a nest with two chicks. But, I mean, the white tail doesn't come into play until they're 5 years old. That shows that they're mature enough to breed, and that's when you see the white tail. And also the head goes white at that stage, and the beak goes this coloured yellow as well. Very impressive. But how do you know them from, for instance, the difference between a white-tailed eagle and a buzzard? The only way that I could be describing it all day, but the only way that I could say it to you is that, look, if you're not sure it's a white-tailed eagle, it's not a white-tailed eagle. Because when you see a white-tailed eagle flying, it is one of the most impressive sights you'll ever see in your life. It's got that big, massive wingspan. Even though you see a buzzard and you say, that is big, the white-tailed eagle is just so big. And like they call it the flying barn door, and that's what it's like. It's like a barn door flying in the sky. So really, that's the only way that we can decipher the size and everything like that. And you know something? It's true what you say. A lot of people may not even know where to find and see a white-tailed eagle, even though they want to, because they're quite secretive. They only they fly a certain time of the day, not all of the time, and you've got to be fast and quick and be able to identify them where we're in the lucky position where we're able to follow satellite tags and see where the eagles are and everything like that. But for the ordinary punter in the wild, it's a rare occurrence to actually see one, but it's quite dramatic when you do see one.
Richard.
Eamon, tell me, is there any possibility or any worry about a genetic bottleneck? For instance, if you were to release the birds in Donegal, or Rathlin Island or someplace like that, there would be a greater possibility of connection with the Scottish population, and this would diversify the genes. To what extent do the Scots birds relate to Norwegians? It would be healthier if we had a continuous chain all the way along Western Europe for this bird, or is this a crazy idea?
No, it's not a crazy idea at all, Richard. I mean, it's one of those things. And you know something, we're even this year, we're starting up a DNA sampling and genetic testing just to try and answer that very question that you're after posing. And I mean, the two birds that I talked about there on the shores of Loch Derg that are sitting there now, the 2008 released male and 2020 released female, the two of them were collected by the same volunteer west of Trondheim from two islands that were close together. So you could very well have that kind of a situation. And those are some of the stuff that we're going to learn along the way. And I mean, we're not too far away from Scotland. We've had some of our released white-tailed eagle chicks, for instance, within 2 months of being released in 2020. She was up in Inverness, up in Loch Ness for about 6 to 8 months. So, and we've also lost other female that have gone to Scotland and not come back, and they've bred over in Scotland. So we do have interchanging and interactions. Nothing has come from Norway, as far as I'm aware, over here in a natural state. So, but it would be good to have that line. But look, the buzzards were up there in County Antrim for years. They never came down. And all of a sudden, about 15 or 20 years ago, we started getting buzzards from Northern Ireland naturally. So you can never tell one. You know, these birds of prey are phenomenal, the way they can fly, the way they can travel, the way they can show up here, there and yonder. I mean, the world is their oyster, really. And it's not like they're flying around small little lakes and patches and areas, even though they do settle in territories that could be maybe 7 kilometres to 10 kilometres territories when they do settle. But up until that time, they really fly the skies. So, I mean, from that point of view, they are a wide-ranging bird. I don't know, but I don't think that the DNA, too close DNA or genetics could be a problem, but we'll learn as we go forward.
Well, so far, so good at any rate. Eamon, thank you very much indeed.